Well, the Kim really hit the fan over at our sister show, Wait, Wait, Don't Wake Me. Kim Kardashian, I mean. They had her on and predictably asked her questions about Kim Jong-un, which, to her credit, she got right, because she lives with little Kim, you know, Kanye West. NPR listeners were not pleased, to say at least hundreds of returned their tote bags to NPR in protest of Kim Kardashian's appearance. Our network, People's Revolutionary International, PRI, has asked me to reassure our listeners, all of you, that neither Kim nor anyone related to or formerly related to by marriage and or former gender will ever appear on What Do You Know. And not doing this for applause, doing it because it's right. And believe me, we've tried, and we're not going to get any of them. You know, just not going to happen. So, what do you know?
Not much, you.
Live from the Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio Internet. I did slur.
Yeah. You want to do that over?
Probably shouldn't have had that drink before the show. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Mike Arnold. In this hour of What Do You Know, we welcome best-selling author of The Jesus Cow, Michael Perry, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man whose family says he's not actually Episcopalian, Michael Feldman.
What do they know about it? I'm self-identified Episcopalian, all right? I don't pay dues or anything. I'm just saying that that's how I self-identify. You know, I didn't even know we had to self-identify. I'm really late on this whole bandwagon. You know, we never got Kim Kardashian, but we had Kirk Kerkorian all lined up, and he dies. Oh. Showbiz is a game of inches, I say. You know, you
can, it is.
Yes, centimeters even.
What about Kevorkian? You ever get him?
Oh, come on. In all the news that isn't, Obama trade deal falls through, and we can't get anybody for him. Not even a player to be named later. It was really kind of sad. Why is it your family never says you're white when you want them to? Frankly, I don't want to get into this whole thing with the woman in Spokane, but if she wants to call herself Jewish, she's welcome to. Because that's a start. Okay. In a related story, the U.S. Census says on the next census forms, race, gender, and percentage of Pacific Islanders will all be on a sliding scale. Because it's not all black and white. It is not. It's sliding scale. If we've learned nothing else from all this. You know. Okay, in other news that isn't, the Astros are hacked by the Cardinals and most of the National League. Meanwhile, nobody has hacked the Brewers. Oh, wait, here's an update. Nobody has hacked the Brewers. The FDA bans trans fats, but not fats you eat without thinking about, or trans fats. Write it out. It's very impressive. As a piece of humor. If you like your humor written out.
Yeah.
You know, puns. And if you like actual visual writing puns, it's you can't beat that. All of Greece joins Atlantis. Well, see, if you had an education, you would have enjoyed that. The problem Greece has always had with the EU is that Euro and Euro, the sandwich, sound identical. So you don't know what you're getting paid in, for one thing. Not everyone wants a Greek sandwich for pay. Oh, I personally love them. With more onions, the better. Okay. Of course, the final solution for Greece, Windex. Okay, obscure joke reference to movie thing. Methane found on Mars wasn't me. I was here. Find it on Earth. Could be me. Not saying it was or wasn't. Donald Trump drops rockin' in the free world for old man take a look at my life as campaign song. You know, if Trump can't stand up to Neil Young, what's he going to do with Putin? I don't know. Who, by the way, Putin is the Donald Trump of Russia. That's what they call him there, by the way. Coincidentally, here's a fun fact. If you want to pile up the steps on your Fitbit, use it as a collar on your cat. And then spin that sucker. Just kidding, kids. Just kidding, cats. You have a Jaguar, it's even better. Probably those things can go for miles and miles. By the way, if you don't have a Fitbit, it's about 10,000 steps from here to Wanakee.
So, how do you know that?
I don't know. I worked it out. I work everything out. You saw me earlier today. I was working things.
You were calculating.
Quarts and gallons.
That's
and
true.
Good point. Currency things. I don't know. Just a thing I do. It's a little neurosis I had working things out on paper. Jeb Bush's Spanish is better than his English. It really is. Great in Spanish. English, he's like, what is this guy looking for his car in the ramp or something? You don't even know what he's talking about. So Spanish is very good, though. Ciudad Juarez, he wins. If he runs in Ciudad Juarez, he wins. Or El Gana, as we say. Thank you very much, Mike. I'm telling you, get out of middle management. Stay with me. I'll make it good for you. I'll make your life a bed of roses. If you want a bed of roses, what sort of flower would you like in your bed?
I prefer not to have flowers in my bed.
Okay, whatever you want. I don't care. I'm not telling you what to have in your bed. Have whatever you want in your bed. Tiger Woods explains his disastrous game as coming from a bad urge inside of me. He calls this bad urge Brian Williams. Coincidentally, again. This is just in. Brian Williams says he's African American. And his demotion to MSNBC is a hate crime. Okay, so we'll follow up on this, I'm sure, before the show is over. The old remains known as the Kennewick Man turn out not to be Bernie Sanders, as long thought. So that's good, I guess. The thing about Bernie Sanders is his given name at birth was Bernie. And you gotta like that. Not Bernard, it's Bernie. I thought that was very interesting. It's likable. Okay, in other news, climate change? Is the Pope Catholic? Why does he talk like this then? Why does the Pope talk? I'm the Pope. Hello, I'm the Pope. Doesn't sound right to me at all. The Pope came out, you know, against climate change because, you know, you try air conditioning the Vatican in Rome in August. Yes. It doesn't matter how many Swiss Guard fanboys you have, you know. Benedict took them all anyhow. That's not good. Republicans predictably say there is no climate change and the Pope is not Catholic. EU aid for Greece arrives in a giant horse. Delaware decriminalizes Dover Wowie marijuana, in case you haven't had some. So I'm off to Delaware to pick up some weed in a nice little corporation. Delaware, the all-purpose state now. Get a corporation, get some weed, chill out. The Packers have a new play caller this season. It's Aaron Rodgers' girlfriend. Oh, that was a much better joke. And local crowd, that should have gone right through the roof. Give me a little thank you. Aaron Rodgers' girlfriend. Oh, boy, that's funny.
Olivia.
I can't remember her name. What's her name?
Olivia.
Mine.
Yeah.
Won't last. Then who's going to call his plays? And on the $500 million in state funds for the Milwaukee Bucks arena, half of which have already been siphoned off from the UW, rather than let them move someplace more convenient for the New York investment banker owners, Governor Scott Walker quips, "It's like wives, cheaper to keep them." Scott Walker. I have his email here if you want it. Thank you so much. And good night. That's all the news that isn't. It's a quip. Did I mention it was a quip? Cheaper to keep them. Old. It's an old saying. Not terrible. It's not terrible. It's true. It's true even, but it's not terrible. I guess it's a little. I can't speak for him. How about the Jesus cow, though, huh? Why didn't I think of this? Why not write a novel about a cow that has Jesus on its side? I had one with Moses, but he doesn't have a recognizable profile. So it never went anywhere. Would you welcome, please, Michael Perry joining us today live and in person. His new book is The Jesus Cow. Did I mention that? Hi, Michael Perry. How the heck are you?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah. So you ever think about politics as a career?
Nope.
Nope? Because it'd be a governorship open pretty soon. No. If he wins, you know, they'll have you open. You know. You don't have any political ambitions?
I do not.
No.
Well, I do, but they're for other people.
Yeah. Well, who do you have them for? Let's go through then. Yeah. Are you a Trump man more than anyone?
No, I'm just not going there.
I noticed that's one of the things you won't talk about is politics. Why is that, Michael?
Because I dedicated my new book to the quiet ones.
The quiet ones.
There's a lot of quiet ones out there, and they never get heard. And
okay.
Anything I have to say would be rehashed rhetoric. So I lay it between the lines.
Oh, okay. I like that about you, I guess. But politically, who do you back? Geopolitically, which side of the chasm do you fall on? Country libertarianism?
I write about people of all stripes,
yeah.
And I live with people of all stripes,
okay.
And I do my best to convey.
But if they're wearing stripes, you know, they're probably prisoners. That's, right. That's one thing to watch out for. Okay, let's get off this. I don't know. Getting anyhow. Jesus cow. There it is. Isn't it, in fact, fairly common for a calf to be born with Jesus on its side in the country?
Yeah.
Because anything can happen on the farm.
Happens quite a lot. Actually, the book itself, while it's clearly a comic novel, at least that in theory,
mm-hmm.
that is up to the reader to decide.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
And Amazon reviewers.
It's a farce. It would be, if it was a play, it would be a farce. Farcical. And in a good sense. I love farces.
I love the qualification. In the good sense.
Good sense of a farce. Not,
as
this
books
like,
go.
Not like my marriage, you know. That's, we're talking about a farce.
But yeah, the book itself, although it's a farce,
yeah.
It's based on something very common, which is pareidolia.
Pareidolia.
Which I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right. I know
how to spell it.
I know how to spell it, and I know
how do you spell it?
I know what it means. Pareidolia. And
pareidolia.
Hopefully, no one will check that now because I just kind of rattled.
Sure,
that
you're
off.
Not thinking of paradoxia.
No, paroxysm.
That's an ejaculation of some sort. It is. Look it up.
I don't need to look it up. I know it when I see it. So
we're getting a little far afield here now. What were you saying? What is pareidolia?
So pareidolia is it's a phenomenon in which the human brain has the capacity, if you look at a bunch of spots or disparate objects, your mind has the ability to draw them together into something you recognize.
Make some form.
And so it is that on a regular basis on the internet there you'll see a picture of a grilled cheese and someone can see the image of Christ or a wet spot on a wall and they can see the Virgin Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And the seeds for this book were planted a long time ago. I used to do a lot of writing in a coffee shop in Nashville, Tennessee called Bongo Java. And hopefully they'll sponsor the show after this. But
yeah. You're always doing that. I love the way you always try to reach out.
And back then, and this is in the 90s, when you'd go to pay for your coffee, underneath the cash register, they had this little glassed-in and illuminated shrine, which contained a cinnamon bun that looked like Mother Teresa.
And but it, all cinnamon buns look like Mother Teresa.
Well, it really did kind of look like Mother Teresa. Although, as I say, it helped to know ahead of time it was supposed to look like Mother Teresa.
And that's why, what you say.
Yeah, yeah, and they called it the nun bun. And they sold nun bun coffee mugs and nun bun T-shirts, yeah. Or at least they did, until they got a letter from Mother Teresa's attorneys.
Really?
They did.
Seriously?
Yes, and she, to be fair to Mother Teresa, she did not object to them having fun with her, but she did object to them making money from her visage. And so,
no kidding. So
they had to shut that part of it down. But, and then in 2005, in the dead of night, someone broke into Bongo Java and stole the nun bun. It subsequently was said to have resurfaced in Seattle, but those of us who follow this closely think that one's a fake.
Yeah.
So.
It's like a shrouded current now.
Great mystery.
Yeah.
But then I just got to thinking, you know, this happens fairly often, but what if it happened in a small town and you know, this bachelor guy.
Bloomer?
Just,
you know, like Bloomer misspell?
Or maybe even a little north of that, you know.
Boomler? What do you call it? Boomler?
Well, a guy makes errors sometimes. We can talk about that. There's a doozy of an error. Even though it's a fiction book, there's one thing in here that I ought to have gotten right, and I blew it.
But, what is it? What was it? Come on.
Well, there are one of the characters in this book, while it is a farce, there's a very gentle character in here who's based on three real people in my life, and it's a very devout Catholic widow. Yeah. And I was not raised Catholic. I was raised in an obscure fundamentalist Christian sect. Yeah. And as you know, I like to say that because it makes people uncomfortable.
Yes, I'm very uncomfortable right now.
And now I'm what I refer to as a bumbling agnostic with traces of amateur existentialism.
Yeah.
Or to put it in another way, I ain't looking for a fight. I'm just looking.
Yeah. Good.
But anyways, despite my raising, we had some neighbors who were very devout Catholics, one widower, and then now on the farm where we live down in the valley below us is a woman who's just a wonderful character. And goes to Mass several times a week, and it's, you couldn't ask for a better person in your life. And so I'm always fascinated by someone like that and their good works and how grateful I am for their example for my children. I don't always make a connection all the way to the top, to the upper management. I can't always bridge that gulf.
Gotcha.
But I wanted to write respectfully about a character like that. So there's a character like her in the book who's very devout. But I realized when the book was in its final draft, not being a Catholic, I better get this fact-checked by a Catholic.
Yeah.
So I went down into the valley to Ginny's house, and I said, would you mind reading the Catholic passages and let me know if I got anything wrong?
If they're Catholic.
And she caught something. And this woman goes into the little church, and she lights a candle, and then she comes back out. And in under 10 minutes, and I said that she had completed the stations of the cross. There's your Catholics right there. You heard them.
Because that takes a lifetime.
Like, no, that would be the Cliff's Notes version.
Yeah. It's like an entire lifetime.
Right. So I changed it, but then I managed in changing it to refer in the book to the 12 stations of the cross. Oh. That's too short. There's been a reduction, and just so you know, that was not approved by the Pope.
I have the uncorrected proof in here.
You have the uncorrected proof. The mistakes are, there's even more mistakes than that.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be worth money.
In the final version, there are two mistakes I know of. One is I put 12 stations of the cross instead of 14, and then I also referred to, her name is Margaret Magdalene Jankowski.
Yeah. Right. And great name.
Twice at the end, my upbringing kicked in, and I accidentally called her Mary Magdalene.
Yes. Oh, I think that's
an understandable error.
Seeing that.
Yeah,
yeah. I didn't see the Jankowski following it either.
Jankowski, yeah, you bet.
Jankowski.
Yeah, so,
let me ask you this.
Oh boy.
Did you ever take your khaki at some point in your life? Did you ever take your khakis and your what was the shirt I'm wearing? Izod shirt or whatever. Put them in the burn barrel and burn them because you're tired of trying to be something you weren't?
I was spared that by never buying khakis.
Because your character in here does it. And I think, well, that's got to be Michael as a young man.
The main character, his name is Harley, and he's a bachelor of long standing. And I was 39 before I got married. And this is fiction, but a guy does draw on a certain amount of real life experience.
Fiction and farce, and your life is not farce.
Oh, well, I think you might want to run a focus study group on that. I've made a living off my life being a farce.
Tell me about it.
Always,
It ain't worth it, I'll tell you that. I mean, you come right down to it. But go ahead, you're saying, and so did you take, you didn't go to this thing.
You never
went off to university and learned about poetry and writing all this stuff. And then thought you'd dress the part. And then
I never did do the khakis, but I will tell you this. This isn't even in the book, but I was a farm kid and I worked on a ranch in Wyoming. I just could not be more farm and rural. And then I went away to college in the big city of Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And they had a movie theater there.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal because, as I mentioned, I was raised in that church. We weren't allowed to go to movies. Oh, but I got away to college and just went crazy. And I started going to movies. And I saw Purple Rain.
Ooh, yeah.
About 5 times straight. And there was a stretch between 1984 and 1985 where I tried to dress like Prince.
You got any pictures of that on you? I'd love to see that. That should be the cover of your next one.
It didn't really pan out.
Yeah. I wish I could see that. I'd love to see that.
I mean, we're both Norwegian, but it just didn't work.
Yeah, well, there's that. And then, by the way, see, look at this.
Nice.
Cow. Who does that look like?
There's a little halo going on there. Yeah.
There's a halo on the Holstein spot. That's not insignificant.
No, that's not.
I brought this just for you. I've had this for years. It doesn't do any mooing anymore. But
it makes such good radio, too, to hold up.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Critic now. You want me to go through your show and seeing some things that don't quite work?
We don't have time.
Okay. Yeah, well, either way, believe me. Where were we now? Well, yeah, Pareidolia. So this is a small town, and it could be Bloomer, it could not. But what's the other one? Spooner? Supposed to be Spooner? What's the other one called?
No, it really is fiction. You know, I made it up. Here's what happened. Two things happened. So you have working titles. Okay. I never actually come up with the titles for my books, hardly ever. The publisher usually does that. I've only come up with the title for one of my books, and I helped with another. And the book that where I came up with the title all by myself is the book I wrote called Truck.
Truck. That take you a long time? Or?
You know, and I thought it over, and, you know.
My truck.
Weeded some things out, and
good old
went
truck.
With truck. Right. And the other one.
International Harvester Truck.
The other book title of mine that I came up with that I thought was pretty good because it was short and punchy, and there was a lot of chickens in the book. I helped come up with the title Coop.
Coop is good.
Well, it seemed
You're
like
doing one word titles for
it
quite
seemed
a while,
like a
right?
good idea until the day the book came out, and then I was live on the radio. I'm sure it was a nice show. It was nothing up to the standards of this show.
No,
but
what standards? How could you? Right.
So, first radio interview. The new book is out, and the host said, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Michael Perry, author of the new book, Co-op."
Co-op. was that in Madison? It sounds like it was.
So I just will put a working title on, and I don't even think about it. And then for this book, I just, the working title, and when I pitched it and tried to convince them.
What
to
was
let
the
me write
question
it,
I asked you? Was, I don't remember what I asked.
Well, the answer is, what? The working title was The Jesus Cow, and I never thought they'd use it. And then all of a sudden, one day, the cover showed up, and they had filed it.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I was getting to is that you asked me about Bloomer. And I have dear friends and neighbors in Bloomer, just That's 9 right. miles south of my hometown of New Auburn, Wisconsin. Right. And so as sort of a placeholder joke to entertain myself, while I wrote the book, I called the town 9 miles down the road Boomler.
Boomler.
And cast some aspersions on Boomler, or at least some of its citizens, and then turned the book in and forgot to change it.
Yeah.
So now I've got to face all my friends from Bloomer who think I'm talking about them.
But what's the other one called?
Swivel.
Swivel, yeah. Where is Swivel?
Swivel is 9 miles north of Boomler. Now,
where's my map when I need it?
In real life, my hometown of New Auburn is 9 miles north of Bloomer. And if you, Harley, the main character, his little farm is tucked into what I call the armpit angle of the interstate exit. And if you go to my hometown, there's still a little barn right in that little angle. And that setting was what suggested the story to me a long time ago. That and the nun bun.
Is there a precedent or a precedent, if you care to say it that way, for the villain in the book, this guy who's trying to develop everything and drive all the farmers out?
He really, there was no particular person. No, that was more just, I needed to create a problem for Harley.
Yeah.
And
but let me ask you this then.
Sure.
Just to follow up on my own question. Mm-hmm.
This would be the antecedent
at this time.
Question.
Yes.
I see your seat.
No, I forgot what I was going to say. It all worked out.
That's my whole goal.
Oh, but is this the kind of thing that could happen?
Oh, sure.
I mean we've all seen it. It's the kind of thing in small farms and towns. And
this is a guy who his family for years was the big... See, his name's Clute Sorensen, the developer, and he drives a big Hummer with the Stars and Stripes airbrushed on each door, and he has a personalized license plate that says 1MPG. And the reason for that is the same year that I was down looking at the Nun Bun in Nashville, the first Hummer...
2005 again, huh?
The first Hummer I ever saw was in Nashville, and the guy had a license plate that said 1MPG. And no, I remember thinking, you know what, pal, it's
pretty
a free
cool.
country, man. You do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But the people with the pitchforks are coming for you first.
Oh, okay. So you didn't think it was cool?
I thought it was. He was perfectly within his rights as an American citizen to do that. But
if you're going to be that way, why not put it on your plate?
Sure. And the problem that Clute has is that when he first drives through Swivel, there's some folks hanging out in the Buck Rub Bar, and it's hard to see out the windows because there's a lot of nicotine on them, and it made it blurry. And the local drunk guy thought that Clute's license plate said "I am Pig." So anyway, Clute, but Clute's...
I love the Buck Rub Bar, by the way. Is there a Buck Rub? There should be. That's such a good name.
Well, I'm sure there's one somewhere. So Clute is a developer, and he's trying to get the last... His family, he's a pretty big deal in Swivel, because Swivel's got 562 citizens, but Clute is from Boomler, and there's over 1,000 people there.
Yeah.
So he cuts a pretty wide swath when he rolls through Swivel. And there's a scene where he goes and ingratiates himself to the local village board. And his hometown, his family ran Boomler, but they came upon hard times when the interstate came through. And so now he's trying to replicate his success down in Swivel, and he's trying to teach those rubes a thing or two.
You know what I've noticed, too, in your books is that you write real good for women.
Well,
your women characters.
Of course,
your women characters sound exactly like your men characters. But
it's
sort of a country thing, because they're all like mostly working women doing, like, they're hanging drywall or they're crushing cars with a machine or something. And they, you know.
Yeah, well,
love the way they talk great.
Well, my favorite thing about there's a woman that Harley the Bachelor runs into literally in the gas station, because he wants to go for a drive one day in his old pickup truck, and he wants to go while he's driving in his old pickup truck. He wants to have a styrofoam cup full of gasoline station coffee and a gas station pastry, because sometimes a guy knows exactly what he wants. And so he goes to the gas station to get his coffee and his pastry, and he gets specifically a maple frosted cream filled Long John, because sometimes a guy knows exactly what he wants. The problem is, it's the kind of pastry you're horrified to be seen in public with. And he turns around and he bumps into this woman and he spills coffee all over her boots. But these are the things that I love to sneak in for us, because the people in Manhattan, sometimes they miss this. She spills coffee on her boots, and of course he's mortified, but when he looks down, he's thrilled because he notices two things. One, she's wearing high-quality leather work boots, but even more exciting, when the coffee hits the leather on the boots, it beads up.
And attention to detail. Attention
so
to detail.
He knows she's been oiling that leather, and his heart skips a beat.
Oh, yeah, and speaking of boots, as you were, it seems to me as now, the character Harley there falls in love with this woman. The biggest love story of his life was because this woman was wearing, like, motorcycle boots, was it?
Well, and just good high-quality work boots that have been oiled and taken care of,
and some sort of hat that he also found.
The hat. Really, what put him over the edge is he's real uncomfortable, so he leaves as quick as he can, but as he's leaving the parking lot, he stops with his turn signal on and waits and watches in the rearview mirror because he wants to see what kind of vehicle she gets into.
Oh, yeah.
And she gets into, he's thrilled when he sees she gets into a big red F-250 four-wheel drive. But even that, he notices not so much the four-wheel drive, but it's winter and she's got skinny tires on. And he knows that's important because some dumb boy would just have big, fat, macho tires, but she's got skinny tires because they're better for getting through the snow.
Yeah.
And then he notices that behind the cab, she has a headache rack. And hanging from the headache rack is her own personal set of tire chains. And at that point, he's gone.
Yeah. Headache Rack. Another one there. Another tavern name.
That's good. Yeah, there you go.
The Headache Rack. You're just a mass of tavern names. You're a secret to writing.
Them's my people.
And, of course, then hysteria ensues. Can we say that?
Well, yeah, he tries to keep it quiet, and that doesn't work. And then he figures, well, people are showing. It goes viral. Someone
goes viral.
The lady who delivers the mail takes a picture of it and posts it on Twitter. Hashtag Jesus call. And off they go. And so at first he tries to keep it local because he feels loyalty. And so he goes, you know, the fire department, we run a softball tournament in the beer tent every summer. We could probably just handle this Jesus call thing. And so they set it up to try and run people through, and they're going to use it as a fundraiser to raise money for a thermal imager.
Thermal imager, yeah.
But things go. And the chief is excited because he's got his new incident command system and his whiteboard and everything. And
his phaser on his...
Yeah, he's got his phaser's tone on his siren, and he gets to use it quite a bit, and the constable gets to use his megaphone, and everybody's so excited. But it goes horribly wrong, and then he ends up... He has a Robert Johnson at the crossroads moment. He has to decide, and so he decides to go all in because he thinks if he makes enough money, he can save his farm from Clute the developer. And so a Hollywood agent shows up, and he signs over all the rights, and they decide to make as much money as they possibly can off this calf.
Yeah. So that's definitely a turning point. Not necessarily for the better. As we see, we don't want to give away...
We don't. This is the first book I've ever written that's got spoilers in it.
Spoiler alerts. Every few pages is a spoiler alert. Stop here unless you want to know what happens.
You start talking about the wrong thing in security, we'll just come out and throttle you.
Yeah. You got security people working with you?
Then you'll find out.
Well, it's called The Jesus Cow, and it's a laugh romp and a farce, and yet it has many serious undertones in a beautiful bit of writing, as always, by our friend Michael Perry. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
Always good to see you. Don't forget Tent Show Radio. That's him, too. Soon to be running for office, I predict. He denied it too vehemently. He doesn't wear a hat, so he can't throw a hat in the ring right now, but I think Michael Perry is seriously thinking about a run. It's just a question of what office and where. Okay. Hey there.
Hey.
Fine, thank you.
You too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you, 31 years now, it's really nothing.
No.
Like there's nothing, there's no aura to it.
No.
Now we're in our 31st year.
It's nothing special at all.
Yeah.
You know, silver, gold, whatever.
It's hard. I have to get excited about it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's 30? You know, like 50 years of marriage is gold or something, but what's 30?
30, what do you get?
Bamboo? I don't know. What is it?
Anybody know? I mean, I had one, but I didn't get anything and didn't give anything. But I gave as good as I got. I'll say that. What? Oh, I don't know. Let's just drop this whole subject here.
Pretty schmirty. Well, let's play a little music here.
A little music, and what are you going to start with?
This is a tune by Harry Warren,
full-time
songwriter.
Sounds familiar. Where would we know Harry Warren from?
You would
Broadway shows?
Broadway shows, yeah. And a few movies, too.
Okay.
Anyway, this is one of his tunes called Summer Night.
Summer Night from Harry Warren and the boys in the band, John Tooling, Jeff Hammond there on the bass.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Yeah. What? What'd you say?
I said, once again, it's Michael
Feldman. Oh, thank you very much. Very nice. Nicely done. Nicely done.
Yep, that's my job.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm great.
Oh, that's good. This is a very pretty thing you got around. Is that from a trip?
It is from a trip.
Where were you going to get something like that?
I was in Peru.
In Peru, very nice. Machu Picchu, that kind of thing?
That's it. Yeah. You got it.
My daughter did that. She got a tattoo.
I didn't.
You have any you care to show me?
No.
Okay. We'll stay with that. And you are?
Mary Heedley.
Mary. Nice to see you. Thanks for coming. And look what we got here. We got Nature Walk. You got stickers you can put in there on your Nature Walk sticker fun book. Okay, you know that, though. Sorry, so I didn't mean to interrupt. Okay. Lost a sticker? Which one did you lose? Oh, the teacup, you need that. Need that on Nature Walk. Okay, anyway, I guess I won't go there. Mamie Keegi? Keegi? Is it Keegi?
Yeah.
Ridgeway, I want you to know I got about 10 cards exactly like this. She says, does Michael Perry think I'm stalking him? Because I'm not. I didn't even know he was here. Okay. All right, all the rest of you, that's Mamie's behalf here for all of you. You're not stalking him. We know that. You just, wherever he goes, there you are. Mamie's right over here. Mike, you still back? Yeah, Mamie right here.
He's hiding.
Go ahead, make
your
day, man. I'll go back in there. Did you know my friend is studying to be a priest? Bless him. Laura. Is it Laura from Madison or Laura Madison? Laura from Madison or Laura Madison?
From Madison.
Okay. And is that the friend that you're pointing to right now? In casual clothes?
Yes.
Probably for the last time?
Yes.
All right. But you know, they all wear casual clothes now. I don't understand why a priest, I mean, you go through all that trouble to get to be, can I get you to stand up, father? Father to be? What do you call father-in-law? Father to be? Pre-father? Fatherette?
Father, may I?
Father, may I? How are you?
I'm just fine, thank you.
And your name is?
My name is Mark.
Hi, Mark. Oh, Mark. Good start. very good start. Was it always Mark, or did you change it? Was it Hyman originally? You changed it to Mark?
Lipschitz, yeah. Hyman Lipschitz.
Lipschitz would make excellent priests, actually. They're all always, you know, up here, holier than thou.
We always get the wrong cards.
Yeah. Okay. All right. How are you?
I'm good.
Thanks for your paying attention to the show. I like that very much, Mark.
Yeah.
What was I going to ask you? Oh, yeah, casual clothes. Now, this outfit, do you have to give up on it? Because it's got, you know, a nice shirt there in shorts and with those fuzzy kind of... What are those on your feet?
Those are some kind of variation on Crocs.
I'll say.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a variation they discarded.
It goes well. It goes very well with my vestments.
Yeah. Okay. And how close are you to being an actual priest? Are you all right? Are you okay? You excuse me. You start.
Oh.
What was?
It was a howl. Yeah.
Why? Doing it for a while?
Yeah, he's been working so long and hard to be a priest, and he just can't make it.
What's preventing you, my son? What is coming between you, my son, and the priesthood?
My religion.
Your religion? Okay,
yeah,
that's going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help you there. Okay, so nice to see you then.
Thank
and
you so
good
much.
To have you here.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you,
you
so much.
Bless you.
Go
you
in
too.
Peace.
You'll,
go
thank you, too. Whatever you do, be well. Be gesund. A big be gesund for my people. Okay? That's good. Go in health. It's about the best thing you can say to someone. Oh, yeah, where was I? Okay, this is priest one. Why does Monona Terrace remain your home? Bigger question, why does Earth remain my home? Let alone Monona Terrace. If you were a crayon, what color would you be and why? I think what's that one? Cornflower. Because that was a new color introduced when I was a youth. And it impressed upon me. Do you like walking your neighborhood and stopping by for a beer in a frosty mug? How did you know this, Ann Burton of Baraboo, retired?
My sister is Pat DiBiase.
Oh, your sister is Pat DiBiase, who used to stop by her house, and she always kept her mugs in the freezer. I'll tell you, you want to know the woman a man loves more than any kind of woman in the world? A woman who has a frosty mug in her freezer. You know? He would leave family and home just to come home to a frosty mug. Say hello to Pat for me. Karen Harris, Farmer City, Illinois. When is the next blue moon? What is the next blue moon? I have no idea what a blue moon is. Karen and David Harris. Look at the Harrises. We got time here. Don't for a
we
second.
Have a couple minutes.
Yeah.
I'll give
where are the Harrises?
Right
Okay, I have to go to the Harrises right now from Farmer City, Illinois, because they're an interesting couple, and they work about 20 jobs between them. Would you be David Harrison?
I would be.
And you have all these jobs?
I do, but I left some things out, like I sing and dance.
Okay, you sing and dance, plus tell them all the other things.
I tune and repair pianos. I tuned one in Madison yesterday for a young man that's starving. I drive a school bus. I do special needs.
Why didn't you feed him if he was actually starving?
Well, actually, he had some,
probably didn't
need some pretty good food cooking while I was tuning the piano. It was killing me. Yeah. I play the organ at our church. Our family has a business for 63 years, television and appliance business. I still
have televisions and appliances where you live?
Do, yes, in Farmer City, Illinois. Yeah, and I substitute school teach. And that's it.
That's it? Oh, that's not so much. I thought it was a bunch of things. That's good. Are you making ends meet now, finally? You got to take on another job.
Well, my wife makes a lot more money than I do, so yeah. so that's how it works.
And what do you make yours at?
Well, I don't know if I should say it on the air.
Is it green and leafy? Grows pretty good in that soil you got there in Farmer City?
Well, it might.
Okay. Let me see if it's on your card. I have your card here, too. No, I'm really curious. Secretary for Insurance Company? That can't be it.
Yeah, it is. It's the truth.
That's it? That's all it is?
Well, it's supposed to be the largest. What is it?
No, I mean, it's a good job. I don't mean that it isn't, but I was hoping for something really racy here.
Yeah, it's a real job, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not something, you know, amiss or bad.
Oh! Sorry, I just lost a year of life there, but we got something for you just for being such a sweet couple, the Harrises. They deserve something, don't they? All the hard work they do?
They do deserve something, I think. It would be nice if we could turn an ordinary meal into a memorable event with a fine Wisconsin wine from the Wollersheim Winery.
There you go. Even though you're from Illinois, we want you to drink our wine. Enjoy. With many baruchas. Barucha ha-gofen. The blessing upon the wine. I know why I'm doing Jewish stuff today. It's because I really am Episcopalian. You know, each week at this time we play a quiz, and before we can do that, we have to know who can and cannot participate by law and statute and just common usage. So to do that, we have the four disclaimers. Yes, come over here, dear. Come to me. Come unto me. In the biblical sense. No, not in the biblical sense. I'd be that. Only if you want to. Here, take this. And what's your name?
Mary.
Mary.
All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Some folks take, you can be whatever you want to be, literally. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. Keep that, because we don't need it anymore. Oh, I'll get it for you. You bet. Anything for you, Mary. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the What Do You Know quiz. This is a chance to win fabulous prizes. I believe you were first up. Even though you thought about it, you hesitated for a minute, everyone else didn't even bother to think about it. Yes, come over here. I'll meet you on the aisle here. And we'll find out if you qualify, because no one is not qualified ever. And you are?
Lisa Brandel.
Lisa, are you from around here? Or?
I am from around Valders, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
So when Michael Perry was talking about being
You're not stalking him, are you?
No, I'm not stalking him, but I have read a book of his.
Yeah. Okay. And you are here, and he's here at the same time. Coincidence.
Okay.
Valerie, did you say?
Valders.
Your name, I mean.
Oh, Lisa.
I got Valders and your name confused because I have short circuits in my brain right now. Lisa, one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because I want to prove to my daughter that I'm not as stupid as she thinks I am.
Can't be done. I'm warning you, it cannot be done. Not that you're stupid, but I've never been able to. Have a seat there if you would, Lisa. Oh, yeah. Is that up there near New Auburn?
Near Manitowoc.
Near Manitowoc, yeah.
Yeah, other side of the state.
Oh, not nowhere near him.
No.
So how could you follow him around, though?
Just this once.
Paloma Picasso? The earrings?
Oh, no, 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 no. Way cheaper than that.
So as you're wondering how I know that.
Yeah.
I was wondering, too, actually. I don't know, some things about myself I don't even understand. Why would I even think those are Paloma Picasso earrings or that there were such things? I'll never say it again as a reference. So what do you? How are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm good. So what do you do in life these days? Or?
I am an elementary music teacher.
Oh, you are? How wonderful.
I love it.
Do you have a pitch pipe?
I do not own a pitch pipe.
They're extinct.
I have a piano.
Are they extinct, the pitch pipe?
Yeah, you don't see them too much anymore except for at a cappella kind of things. So.
Yeah. Well, we used to hate it when our teacher would pull out their pitch. I don't even know where they pulled them out from. That was the scary part. Suddenly, she pulled from someplace, and there was a pitch pipe in her hand. She blows some note or other.
I do know a lot of music teachers that use a tuning fork.
Ooh, that would be scary.
Yeah.
That would be really scary.
But I'm not one of them.
Especially if they whip it at you.
Go to the piano.
So I can't keep a beat. Big deal.
That is a big deal.
So, and what grade did you say?
I teach kindergarten through fifth grade.
Oh, well, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Is that as much fun as it seems like it
might
be?
It is great fun. I love it.
And because it's music.
Yeah. What better job could you have?
Fantastic. Do they need more like, do you do hip-hop and stuff now with kids, or do you?
Not a ton.
Yeah.
But
you do some.
I'm open to it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the older kids.
The pop lock thing, you do some.
Well,
some
you
of
know, you get some I can't of quite pull it off.
I think that's what it is. Some, you do some moves and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I teach a little bit of choreography, but can't do the popping too much.
Yeah, okay.
It's
okay.
A little difficult.
Well, if you need someone to come in and do some of that.
Okay, I'll call you.
I'd be happy to come in if I could figure out where it was, what part of the state it was. I think I could find Manitowoc.
Find Lake Michigan. It's only 10 miles inland.
That's what they all say. Oh, okay. Well, Lisa, it's great to have you here. It's like a weekend of some sort. Are you celebrating something, or are you just...
We are here visiting my daughter, who is doing research at the university for Father's Day. So she can be with her father for her Father's Day weekend.
I thought she was doing research on Father's Day.
No.
I'd like to see how that comes out.
No, even better. She's researching ice cream.
Really?
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
So she's in food science?
Yes.
Yeah, how cool.
Well, actually, she's a biological systems engineer. She'll correct me if I say it wrong.
Engineer, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that pays a lot better than ice cream engineer.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm an ice cream engineer. Oh, okay. All right, Lisa, someone out there plays along with you. How's that work then?
The way it works is if people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WACK. Now, and they can answer this qualifying question.
Whack, ended in a CH, I think.
Whack. No, it's just, they're just a K. Just
all
one,
right.
One K.
All right, no, stop. Sorry. No one to stop.
Okay. I stopped.
You haven't stopped, have you?
No, I haven't stopped. Sorry.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm finished.
Okay. Yeah. All right, here's this current events. Wait, don't tell me they had who on is the question. If you know, give us a call here if you're an NPR listener or PRI listener, or any kind of listener, I guess. I probably know this one. Wait, don't tell me. It caused quite a controversy. They had who on a recent show. And we got the... Here's Duncan's in Eau Claire. Hey, Duncan.
Hey, how you doing, Michael?
Did you know you were in Eau Claire? Did this come as a shock?
Did I know I was in Eau Claire?
Yeah, it says Eau Claire here. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I'm aware of where I am, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. So you didn't do anything last night then, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you doing? Are you working now?
No, I'm actually picking up an order from Walmart.
You're at Walmart?
I am at Walmart.
Yeah. Do they have it or did they mess up your order?
I don't know. I'm walking slowly. I'm trying not to make too much noise in my cart.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
I'm thinking of you, Michael.
Huh?
You're thinking of you.
I mean, often or is this the first time?
No, this is the first time.
Oh, good. Let's keep it that way, Duncan. Better that way. Hey, Duncan, what's the order? What are you picking up?
A lot of toilet paper.
Are you me? Okay, they're just having fun here, Duncan. Really, that they sent you out for toilet paper?
Yeah, I bought it online, and I do it that way so that I can get some airline miles in exchange.
Airline miles in exchange for toilet paper. I'm glad I lived this long. You know, I didn't. For a while, I didn't think I would live this long, but look, I have. Okay, wait, don't tell me you listen to that show.
I do occasionally, yeah. And I hope I listen often enough I can get the answer.
Okay, I hope so too. What is it then?
So, who was on recently?
Yeah, a guest, and people got really upset and mad and angry and this and that. You know, NPR listeners. Uppity.
Oh, boy. You know, I can't think of anyone that would upset any PR listener.
Very famous reality-type person.
Was it somebody
first
from the Duggar family?
First one you'd think. No, that would have been good, though. No. Sorry, Duncan.
Oh, my chances? All right.
Yeah, you're
nice
out of chances.
Nice talking to you.
Yeah, only one, yeah.
Bye.
Nice talking to you. He's a little mad about that. In Wycliffe, Ohio. Hey, Dan.
Yes.
How are you?
Hi, good.
Good. You know who was on Wait?
Kim Kardashian.
Oh, you got it right off the bat. And how did you feel about that, Dan?
Pardon?
How did you feel about it?
I was surprised.
Surprised?
Yes.
Disappointed?
A bit.
Okay. Are you over it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Dan, Lisa. Lisa,
hi, Dan.
Hi.
Dan's in Wycliffe, Ohio. And what's your background in, Dan?
I'm an engineer.
Oh, what kind?
Mechanical.
Well, they're the best kind, aren't they? You just have to wind them up. I love mechanical engineers. Okay, that was funny, huh, Dan? Okay, anyhow, and pretty good day. What are you doing later today?
Well, I'd like to cut grass, but it rains a lot here.
Yeah. Can't you do it in the rain? Would you melt if you cut grass?
I might.
Okay. You got a push mower, or what do you got there?
It's battery-powered.
Oh, we're out of time. Okay, yeah. We got to do this for one. Okay, one question.
One question.
Wins all.
It's a lightning quiz.
Yeah.
I can feel the energy in the air. It's almost like a thunderstorm is coming. The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
All right, Dan, we'll let you pick it. What would you like?
Things you should have learned in school.
Ooh, good choice.
Okay. Yes. Here it is. Was George Washington's hair a wig, or did he just spend a lot of time on it?
I actually think he did not wear a wig. He was like a renegade for the time.
Oh.
Refused that tradition. Am I right about that, Dan?
I'm happy to go with that.
Yes, that's exactly right. He greased it, he pomaded it, he powdered it, but he never, and he put his ponytail in a silk bag, I'm told. Unbelievably, you won it all. What did they win?
They won it all. Yes, they did. Lisa, you've won the story of a determined, passionate woman who can never forget her first love. And Adriana Trigiani is the queen of the big time, an epic small-town life etched in glorious detail from Random House. I know. Anyway, Dan, you can begin all your mornings bright-eyed and bushy-tailed with Steep & Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee and banish afternoon cares with rich and smooth Costa Rican Terasu from Madison's Steep & Brew Coffee, coffee done right. And each of you can display innuendo with a triple X t-shirt commemorating 30 years of nonstop What Do You Know radio comedy, not much since 1985, and keep your summer weekend guests happy playing What Do You Know the party game, including contestants, questions, cards, and the infamous Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. Good job. Good job. And Dan, hang on. Make sure you get that.
What Do You Know returns to Monona Terrace in July. Guests include actor Andrew Daly, author Gail Sheehy, and animal expert Hal Herzog. Tickets and more guest information is available at notmuch.com. You can celebrate 3 decades of your favorite public radio quiz with your very own What Do You Know commemorative t-shirt designed by Michael Feldman. They're available in all sizes at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. This is PRI Public Radio International.
Now, do this. All right. What about these boys?
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Felden's it's good, What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.
Okay.
That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Mike Arnold. Oh. In this hour of What Do You Know, we welcome Washington Post science columnist Rachel Feldman, plus Thanks for the Memos, All the News That Is, and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now the man who's waiting for a self-walking Fitbit, Michael Feldman.
Not ready. Oh, hi there. Still here, and how's everything in your end of the audience? Pretty good? Yeah? Okay? You're comfortable back there? You want to move forward at any point? Storm the stage? You want to storm the stage? Eventually, we're going to body pass me. I'm saving that for the last show, the very last show. Pass me right out the door there.
Yeah. That would be fun.
Lay me out in the rotunda, if you don't mind. Is there a rotunda here?
Not in this building, I
don't think. Yeah.
Go all you have
Capitol.
To go.
I don't know if I want
Capitol.
To do it in the Capitol these days. I was always thinking, you know, I'd like to be laid out in the rotunda eventually. I'm not soon. I'm not being morbid or anything. But now I don't know. I don't like the atmosphere in that rotunda to be laid out in. What was I saying? Oh, yes, each week at this time we get actual memos sent in by actual listeners who still get them. How many of you applaud, because it's radio and you can't see your hands, because I know you will, it's spare you that embarrassment, receive memos as part of your job, part of your occupation. Applaud if you are a memo receiver. Okay. Well, it's not everybody anymore, I guess. How many of you actually send out memos as part of your job description? It's on your job description. We'll send the occasional memo. It's on your job description. Okay, all right. How many of those people who actually send them, anyone think they write a good memo? Like a memo master?
Nobody's applauding.
Yeah, no one? You write them because you have to, but you don't feel like you occasionally get a very amusing memo or... Okay.
I write pretty good memos.
I wasn't asking you. You're really not part of the audience.
Sorry.
Do you?
No, I don't. I was joking.
Oh, okay.
It was a joke.
All right.
I write really bad memos.
Okay. Well, your memos are always Snapchats. I think that's weird. They disappear after 7 seconds. What? All right. Now, what did he say? Well, remember, there are numbers involved. And it's gone. Well, here's an actual memo sent in by an actual listener, and it's short, everyone. So here it is. Let's see. It's to all employees, subject alligator in water retention pond. Hey, everyone. I just wanted to pass along a memo that Tony and I just witnessed a 4 to 5 foot long alligator swimming in the water retention pond out by the picnic area. Please err on the side of caution when you're out back eating or conducting a meeting. Warm regards, senior systems manager. There you have it. Warm regards. Well written, I thought. To the point. Not a lot of alligator jokes to get to it. Where can they send those memos?
Well, if you have a memo you want to send, you can send it to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, the subject line memos. Or you can go to notmuch.com and post it there somehow or another.
Yeah, okay. And then and all the news that is, kind of the antidote to all the news that isn't. And it's usually around here. And yes, it is. And the biggest thing right now is, you probably saw this, kangaroos out as service animals in Beaver Dam. A lot of folks in Beaver Dam, surprisingly, don't use geese as service animals or helper geese. They use kangaroos. Not too well known, I guess. Here's the story from Murray Spicuzza of the Journal Sentinel in Milwaukee. Kangaroos have been banned as service animals in Beaver Dam after an incident involving a kangaroo at McDonald's.
Ooh.
This sounds like a bad joke. You're beginning with a bad joke. A kangaroo goes into McDonald's. The municipal code bans wild animals, a category that includes kangaroos.
Makes sense.
I don't know. Kangaroos are borderline to me. A lot of them can be trained in parts of families and, you know.
They have pockets.
If you need a pocket, you always got your kangaroo there. That's probably a good helper animal, right? Someone always has a pocket. And it's cute, hop around and get a lot of attention. Anyhow, the Beaver Dam Common Council on Monday night approved an amendment to its code that further clarifies the exceptions for service animals pertain only to dogs or miniature horses. That seems rather a strict code. I mean, aren't there other animals? A monkey would be an excellent, because they're intelligent and they do get up, you know, they climb McDonald's and shat upon customers on occasion. I'll give you that.
Hope we
Isn't it funny
delay.
You can say the past tense, but you can't say the present tense? Isn't that interesting?
No, I actually don't think you can say either tense.
Oh, okay. As but Shakespeare said.
As Shakespeare said.
No, that's not.
Shatteth not upon this. All right. You can't quote Shakespeare on public radio anymore?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
It is a live show.
Last
some,
time we get
in some communities.
You know, yeah. Suit.
For now.
Yeah. Takes off the suit. He's still a suit. He can face it. Anyway, dogs are miniature horses. That seems restrictive, doesn't it? What's the matter? What, like a full-size horse, for example? They're bigger. And I could see, you know, if they can't get him in the door, they shouldn't try. The move came after a woman brought a baby kangaroo named Jimmy into McDonald's in Beaver Dam earlier this year, saying the kangaroo was her therapy animal. You see the sessions, really. Great. Now Jimmy's owner is furious. I don't know what their problem is. I think they've learned to pick on us and pick on the disabled, and that's exactly what they're doing to me, taking my rights away from me to be happy and to have Jimmy. The ordinance passed on a 14-0 vote. So it seems pretty firm. All right, so that's the thing there, and you can feel how you feel about that. A woman in, where is she? Menominee Falls, Rachel Doak. She's 21 years old, and she has 100 great-grandkids? That's an amazing story. No, okay. Her grandmother, Jenny Doak, has just had, just had one of the kids have another one. And it's the 100th one, 100th great-grandchild, Ethan Patrick Pop, with two P's, three P's altogether. He arrived on June 2nd, joins the five older siblings. And let's see, is that? She has 53 grandkids, 47 great-grandkids. Okay. And she says, not too many people have 100 great-grandchildren, and I have 8 grandkids who are pregnant right now. There you go. That's a slap across the face to all of you thinking about having more than 100 great-grandkids total. So next year I'll have 108 grandkids. We have to do this story all over again, ladies and gentlemen, in Menominee Falls. So that's great. Jenny Doak and her late husband Alex were married 65 years before his death in 2010. They had 9 children together and 49 grandchildren. So that's the way to do it if you want to try this at home. I would take the Doak approach. What is this? Anything? Just this. And I'll just mention this. I don't want to go through the whole thing. But you can, if you're looking for work and you're somewhere out there on the Mississippi River, western Wisconsin, anywhere, they're looking for people now to count mayflies.
2, 3, 4, 5
Seriously. What a great job that would be. Wow.
6
Yeah. So if you want that, I can give you the, call us and we'll give you the number to call.
So whenever I do that, I lose track.
Thank you. Okay.
Sorry.
And that's all the news around here. So if you're looking for a job, Mayfly counter, it could be worse in lacrosse. It could be a Mayfly counter. I would just stand on the bridge because they all end up on the bridge there, like 3 feet deep or whatever. But then the plows come through and you're in serious trouble. You got to count them quick.
That's true.
Where the plows come through.
That's true.
Rachel Feltman is a science blogger for the Washington Post. And she's very enjoyable reading because she's funny and interested in a lot of things. And her columns are always good. So I thought it might be fun to talk to her. She's joining us now from New York City, Rachel Feltman from the Washington Post. Hey, Rachel. Hey, Rachel.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Yourself?
I'm doing great.
Now, Feltman is with a T, not Feldman, which is me, with a D.
Right.
Okay, glad we straightened that out. Because there was a lot of...
I have a Michael Feltman, so... Between you and Corey Feltman, I pretended to have a lot of famous uncles growing up.
Yeah.
So.
Who is your Michael Feltman?
My uncle Michael Feltman is not on the radio.
No.
And I suspect the two of you have never met. But great uncle. So.
He's a good uncle?
Yeah. Best.
did he give you more than like a dollar on occasions?
Yeah. You know, he was pretty good with birthdays.
Yeah.
You have never sent me a birthday card. So.
No, never. Because I don't even know if you're a Feldman, you know, if it's just a matter of a letter or if it's more than that.
Yeah.
Could be more than that.
I think the difference in spelling is that, you know, I think it's the same family. It's just, it's like one of those Ellis Island things.
It could have been. Or it could be that the Feltmans were in Felt.
And as opposed to Feld.
The Feldmans were in Feld, yeah.
Right.
Which means field, and Felt means felt. So it's a whole rigmarole. But you know what, Rachel, though, at one point you were defending yourself against some creationists who thought you offended them or something, and right? And you said, well,
right.
I'll tell my parents because they're devout Episcopalians or something like that. Now,
my parents are Protestants and have not yet disowned me for writing about evolution. So.
Yeah, they're Protestants. Rachel, come on now. Rachel Feltman is a Protestant name? I don't think so.
No. My dad's family is very Jewish, but.
So you're just you're self-identified as Protestant? Is that what you're saying?
You know, we are a modern interfaith household, Michael.
Oh, okay. All right. No, it's not a big deal, but I was just shocked when I said, you know. That's great. Do the creationists bother you a lot? Do they feel offended by some of your comments? Because you're quite funny in a lot of things you write about.
Oh, thank you. I do get a lot of emails from people who are really mad at me for not paying attention to real scientific facts, like how the Earth is only 6,000 years old.
4,000.
Really want me to educate myself.
Yeah. 4,004 BC, October 23rd, I think it was.
But you know, most of the angry emails I get are more people mad at me because I called someone sexist, or I don't know, because I am a girl who writes about science.
Yeah.
The creationists have actually been relatively kind.
It's the scientists
that's not saying a lot.
It's the scientists you can't stand, right?
I hate scientists. They're the worst.
But there's a lot of, a woman working in science, there's a lot of sexism in the lab, right?
There is, yeah. There is. And I write a lot about issues of the underrepresentation of women in science and the harassment they face. And so that's something that I do get a lot of, let's call it, interesting feedback for.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but the story is that now, are you considered a blogger or a columnist?
I'm a blogger.
Because bloggers, they don't pay? They don't pay bloggers? Is that the difference?
No, so I have a blog for the Washington Post called Speaking of Science.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting question what the difference between that and a column is, but I am a blogger.
Yeah.
And I think the blog is pretty good. Do you read it?
Yes, I do.
I get the feeling that you do.
That's how I thought. Well, and then I saw it a few times, and then I saw your name was Feltman, so I thought it probably related. let's get her on here and talk about some of these things.
I appreciate it.
You were trained in science, right?
I was. I studied environmental science as an undergrad and then went right into science writing because I like telling people about science. I like learning things and then being a know-it-all and telling people all about them.
Mm-hmm.
So science writing is the perfect job for me.
Yeah. Okay, let's go through some of the things that you've written about here. The world's first penis transplant was reportedly resulted in a pregnancy.
Great news.
Okay. All right, nothing more to say about that. Three cheers for Samantha Cristoforetti, smasher of space records.
Yeah, so Samantha is an Italian astronaut, the European Space Agency, mm-hmm. and she was on the International Space Station and just finished her last mission, which was the longest single mission for a woman in space and also I think the longest single mission for any European Space Agency astronaut.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome. And also while she was up there, she did some really great public outreach. She did a lot of really cool videos, and she tweeted with people all the time. And I just love that because ever since Chris Hadfield, the Canadian astronaut, you know, really took the opportunity to, like, become a social media darling,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that just helps helps the interest in space and science so much because astronauts are really cool, and if people get the opportunity to see how cool they are, it just makes it so much easier to get them excited about space.
Yeah. Have you spoken with her?
I haven't.
Yeah. That would be a columnist I've would do that, right? Probably. Yeah. Actually, speak to her.
Yeah, I have gotten to speak to some astronauts, but not Christina yet.
The non-apology of the year award goes to Nobel scientist who thinks women just cry all the time. There you go, right? In a nutshell.
Yeah, that pretty much covers it.
Tim Hunt, that was.
Yeah.
What did he win for?
He went for physiology and medicine for his work on cell division.
Yeah.
So really important science, but there's this kind of ongoing problem where Nobel laureates,
mm-hmm.
they get this platform and then sometimes say really horrible things.
Yeah.
So Watson of, you know, Watson and Crick fame,
yeah.
he's considered the father of DNA, he's gotten in trouble for...
Yeah.
saying some really racist and sexist things,
yeah.
And then being really upset when people, you know, try to call him out for it.
Yeah.
And Tim Hunt was speaking to a group of science journalists at a conference and said, in my experience, what women do when you get them in the lab is they fall in love with you and you fall in love with them and they cry when you criticize them and they should just be in their own lab. And he said later it was a joke, but people who were there say it was really not a joke.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But there's been some fallout there. And,
yeah.
And also in my email inbox. So.
Yeah. And on Twitter, I suppose. It's lit up Twitter, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And dinosaurs are always very big. Anyway,
<Yeah.
laughs> is there actually one called Dreadnoughtus?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a size-related slur?
Yeah. It was supposed to be the largest, the heaviest terrestrial animal ever measured. So basically the biggest thing that wasn't a giant sea monster that has ever...
Biggest thing on land ever. How big was it? It was supposed to be.
Oh, gosh.
Dreadnoughtus.
I want to say the estimate was 60 tons.
Mm-hmm.
It was maybe 80 tons. It was big.
It was big.
It dwarfed like anything else we have measurements for. Mm-hmm.
They found out it wasn't that big?
Well, now some researchers say they estimated that it wasn't that big, but it really comes down to how difficult it is to measure dinosaurs. I mean, you can't really get them on the scale.
Right.
So it's really, you have to pick some kind of method of estimation based on the information you have, like the bones you have, or, you know, trying to figure out what the volume of the dinosaur was. And a lot of those methods come up with different numbers. So the truth is, we don't really know how much Dreadnoughtus weighed, but it was probably really big and really heavy. But when it comes to picking out an actual number, that's probably, you know, different people are going to come up with different things.
Okay, so it's lost weight, though, some weight. So.
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
The hard way. All right, now here we go again. So now, speaking of dinosaurs, all right, scientist discovers new dinosaur, sneaks marriage proposal into the study. Is this it again with the science guys? What's going on here?
Yeah. So this was a new dinosaur. So it was pretty cool. It was like a relative of the Triceratops. And someone realized that in the acknowledgments of the paper, he had asked his girlfriend to marry him. And everyone was very excited and very, we were all like, "Ah!" on Twitter all day.
Yeah.
And there's usually a lot of romance in the world of writing about dinosaurs. So it was a nice change of pace. It did turn out that he had proposed to her officially when he had her read the unsubmitted manuscript.
Oh,
so it's
nice.
Not like he like got this paper published and was then like, surprise. Which is probably good. That might be a little bit of a bold move. But I think people are pretty sure it's the first time it's ever happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't propose at a baseball game, just discover a new dinosaur.
Yeah. Scientists are socially ill at ease, is what I think it is. Like engineers. You ever notice that engineer go to a party where there is an engineer of some sort? They're always nice guys. Especially
well,
mechanical ones, you know, they're great. But, you know, they're a little socially ill at ease. Maybe that's part of it, you know, in terms of these. I mean, this is actually a good example of a nice thing, but could have been terrible if she, you know, hated him.
Oh, yeah.
And got that. And had to read his paper and got that. You know, that would be terrible. We have a new walking, is this like a walking catfish? Invasive fish live for days on land and walks on its gills. Because this is like an important fish then, isn't it? Because it's kind of in between land and water.
Yeah, so there are fish that are kind of, they live kind of amphibiously. They, you know, they can, like, drag around in the mud and survive without being, like, submerged in water for a while.
Yeah.
So it's not totally new that this fish does this. It is pretty creepy that it drags itself along using its gills. And also it tends to kill things that try to eat it because it like, gets stuck in their throats because of these scary walking gills it has.
Yeah.
So it's a little freaky.
Yeah.
But the reason scientists are worried about it is because it's kind of creeping closer and closer to being on the Australian mainland, and probably going from island to island, you know, being stuck on the bottom of fishing boats and things like that, which is really common for invasive species. They kind of, all you need is a couple to make it from one place to another.
They have suckers as well as walking gills?
They don't have suckers, but they can get kind of like caught up in nets of fish that are being caught and carried over. And if those fish are kept alive on the boat. So what happens is that a couple of them make it to the new place, and because they don't have natural predators there, they just, like, have the run of the place, and it's really bad for the natural ecosystem there. So, yeah, these walking, choking land fish.
Is that their name? Is that the scientific name for it?
I think they're called... the climbing perch, because actually I think one of the first people
I like perch,
who found them on one of the first people who found them on land saw them in a tree and thought that they had climbed up there. If I'm remembering this correctly, they had in fact probably been like dropped there by a bird, but they do walk around on land. And yeah, so hopefully we will be able to keep them out of Australia so they don't add to the collection of terrifying things there.
Yeah, so what I see in this scenario is the bird tried to eat it, right, and couldn't stand whatever it's got there, the bristles or something, right, or its feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's got, like, feet, and regurgitated it into a tree is what I think. Likely scenario, don't you think?
I guess that's probably what went down there, yeah.
Yeah, either that or a water spout possibly could have just left it there. Oh, we should go into the forensics together. We could do scientific forensic studies of how, you know, fish get in trees. And when fish rain, you know, they have these things where fish rain every so often. Usually they're cod, I think. And I like cod, you know, so if it happens on me, I'm not going to be upset. But, you know, fish, how does that happen? That's, I think, a water spout or something. Do you ever run into that raining of fish? Story?
Yeah, you know, I've never covered a raining fish story.
Yeah.
We did have one the other day that was blood-sucking fish falling from the sky, but that was because birds carry them and then drop them, probably because they're so ugly. So then you have these, like, scary fish covered in, like, blood-sucking teeth just, like, being dropped into the middle of landlocked areas, which is very disconcerting for the people who live there, especially because they were still alive. So.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I brought it up then. This was interesting. This engine that uses nothing but water and bacteria to power small devices. This is a wonderful use for bacteria, for useless bacteria right now. Could be used to power an engine.
Yeah. Basically, these bacterial spores, they contract and expand based on the moisture in the air.
Uh-huh.
So by controlling, by basically exposing them to water to make the engine area more humid, these spores expand. And then as they use up all the water, they contract. And by kind of attaching the bacteria to this plastic, they create sort of like an artificial muscle. You know, it like expands and contracts because of all the bacteria on it.
Yeah.
So you can use that to power small devices. And they're hoping they'll be able to scale it up. I mean, right now they can power like a toy car with it and these very small devices. But, you know, it's using nothing but bacteria and water and air. So, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough sell. You know, you want a bacteria lung-driven device. But I think if they can finesse the naming of it, I think it'd be an interesting thing. In your science training, which area of science were you in, like, microbiology, or what was your kind of major interest?
I did, like, environmental science in college, but...
Environmental science,
I read a lot about... I read a lot about bacteria because there's a lot of cool stuff going on with bacteria in us and around us right now. And I read about space a lot, especially astrobiology. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cool space stuff happening in the next few months, in our constant search for life, intelligent life anywhere, even here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Bill Nye's light sail, that thing that was... Wasn't that part of science fiction originally? Somebody.
Yeah, I think it was an Arthur C. Clarke book. I know that because every time I write about light sail without mentioning Arthur C. Clarke, I get about 5 emails. So it's this solar sail. So
yeah.
It works like a sail with wind, but it uses particles from the sun to push it. And Bill Nye and the Planetary Society just tested. Did their first successful prototype test of a light sail. And it was really simple. The test was just to see if they could get the sail to deploy because it's really thin. It's like less than the width of a human hair, and it's like as big as a boxing ring. So knowing that it's able to unfurl without being damaged is important. And they've already raised the money to have a full mission next year where they actually, try to accomplish something with the satellite it's attached to. So that'll be cool.
Yeah. It's not, the solar sail that flies on solar wind is interesting, but the most amazing thing about this story is that Bill Nye does something useful. he's actually involved in a project. I thought he was just the guy, Bill Nye, the scientist, and he jumps up. So that was cool. Rachel,
yeah.
I want to thank you for your time. Do you live in Washington? Or you stay in New York?
I am in New York now.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if the Post makes you live in town or not. I have no idea.
Well, I convinced them to let me come back to New York, but I am a bi-city resident.
Good.
So.
And there's a lot of science going on in New York. We know that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Rachel, thanks so much. Rachel Feltman from the Washington Post. She blogs science. It's cool. Read it. Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you.
Yay. Okay. And she tweets a lot. But I had to stop following her because a lot of tweets were on things, subjects that were more personal, and I didn't really get involved in it. What?
Nothing.
No, how are you?
She was good.
She's very
good.
Yeah, very, very bright. And what? Anything coming up now? We haven't done much forward promoting of your career.
Oh, Jeff and I actually have a little.
Oh, good.
Since you asked.
Yes, excellent.
In August.
Remember the date?
So far away now. I think it's August 18th. It's a Monday.
Look for it. If the 18th is a Monday, that's probably it.
It's at Lake Park in Milwaukee. It's called Musical Mondays.
Well, cool.
And it's from...
In the park?
In the park, yeah. It's outdoors in the park.
Do they have a pavilion there? Or just,
yeah, they got a nice little stage there. It's been updated, too, the last year, so it's actually very nice. And
yeah, because
nice
it used
system.
To be like...
Well, the last time
it
we did
terrible.
It...
It was terrible. Like, I mean, when I was a kid, growing
four
up,
or
Lake
five
park,
years ago, yeah, it was just kind of like a little board in the middle.
Oh, just like empty vials lying around and bottles.
No. It's
broken glass.
It's a family event. There's no empty vials.
Well, I'm saying I grew up in Milwaukee. I spent a lot of time in there, certain parts of Lake Park you didn't go into.
Yeah, no, it's nice. It's nice though. So that's coming up. Musical Mondays in
August.
Sure
it's nice.
Yeah.
But I'll read down there. Musical Mondays in August. And so it's probably on the 18th of August on a Monday at night.
6 to 8.
6 to 8, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So those of you around there, it's okay to go in Lake Park again so you can do that. Okay.
And if this isn't appropriate, I have a little poem here, but I don't have to read it.
No, you have to read it.
6 lines or something.
You have to read it, right? Yeah.
It's by this guy, W.H. Davies, who was a Edwardian poet. He was like considered like the working class people's poet. And it's about the pace of modern life, which should be even more appropriate now. Yeah. Anyway, it's kind of stupid. But okay, here we go. Since it's a literary show today.
Yeah, you know, good.
Michael Perry.
I like this.
Okay. What is this life if, full of care, we have no time to stand and stare? No time to stand beneath the boughs and stare as long as sheep or cows. No time to see when woods we passed where squirrels hide their nuts in grass. No time to see in broad daylight streams full of stars like skies at night. No time to turn at beauty's glance and watch her feet, how they can dance. No time to wait till her mouth enriched that smile her eyes began. A poor life this if, full of care, we have no time to stand and stare.
Well, that's only slightly morose. You know, ever since you got that damn phone, you've been doing stuff like this. I'm going to take that phone away from you.
Yeah, well, I asked you, it was probably not appropriate, but anyway, maybe we should play some music now.
Well, I mean, how did you happen to find that poem?
I get this daily email from...
A lot of time during the show to sit around here and probably...
Yeah.
You get what, a daily email?
From, it's part of it was one of Saturday's quotes. So.
Very nice, very nice. Okay, and following that,
how about
a musical version of that?
Okay, well, this is a Horace Silver tune called Whenever Lester Plays the Blues.
Yeah, good one.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
I don't get anything. No, I mentioned my hose reel because it's the only Father's Day I ever got something that I sort of wanted. Because you know, you reach an age where there's nothing you want in life more than a hose reel, and it's very sad. It's bittersweet. When you get one, it's bittersweet at that point. At least it's not sad anymore. Because you can actually reel up your damn hose. Because that takes a... But, you know, it's harder to reel them up, too. They should make them so you just pull them out and they snap back in there. You know, like on a thing you wear in your belt. Pull it out and then snap it back. But that would be dangerous, I imagine, because I know that thing would flatten on the way out, probably. Contusions, concussions, what have you. What? Okay, well, thanks for bringing that up, though, Jeff. Anyone getting did you get anything yet? Were you expecting something for Father's Day?
I got announced that we're going to take a trip.
So they're going to take you somewhere physically?
Well, my wife, actually.
Your wife, actually, or your wife?
My wife is going to take me, actually.
She's told you that we're taking you on a little trip, hon.
That is correct.
Yeah. Do we know where we're going, though? This is alarming. I don't know if for you. I would be alarmed to hear this.
We haven't decided.
Dad, we're taking you on a little trip. So just pack a few. You don't even have to pack anything. We packed for you. Do you have any suspicion where it's going to be?
Where did we talk about?
The kids haven't decided yet.
Okay. Possibly Portland.
Portland?
Yes.
Cement or Oregon?
Oregon.
That's good. That's great. That's great. Are you ready? I mean, are you all packed and everything? Or I mean, you?
No. In a few weeks.
Have they done this sort of thing before? Or were they? Just...
No.
Well, then I'm sort of worried again.
I escaped.
Okay. Are they in Portland?
My son.
Okay.
Is in Portland.
Have we said about all we can about this?
I suppose. Yeah.
What's your name?
Bill.
Come on, tell me that.
Bill Murphy. Yes. Of Sun Prairie.
The Sun Prairie Murphys. There's a lot of Murphys in Sun Prairie.
I didn't know that.
It's almost all Sun Prairies. I mean, Murphys. There's a lot of Sun Prairies in Murphy, too, but I didn't really, I was trying to get at that. I'm trying to say that there's a lot of Murphys in Sun Prairie.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, I'm wrong. I thought it was Sun Prairie I was in, and it seemed to be there's Murphys everywhere you turned.
I received their mail the other day.
Oh, which Murphys did you get?
Tom.
You know Tom?
No.
They don't know each other, too, you know. Like the people say, Jewish, you know, you got a Jewish name. Oh, you know, they know someone who's Jewish. No, you know, there's quite a few. Can't know them all.
Jewish?
You Murphys always throw something at a guy. All right, so what field are you in, or what do you do?
I'm a vendor of cabinetry and architectural work.
And do you make it as well, or you sell it?
Sell it.
Yeah. Is it high-end stuff?
Sometimes.
You do both the high-end and the low-end?
Yes, both. They both need cabinets.
Yeah. Is there any, like, a mid-range thing I could see? I have high-end tastes, but I'm more mid-range in terms of, you know, what I'll pay for something. Let's put it that way.
Maybe we should talk.
Okay. Should you get a card or something on you?
I probably could find one.
Okay. You're wearing your shorts there? They're cargo shorts. Cargo pants shorts. Let's see what you got here. Or get a credit card, it'll be fine. That's not it. That's your card? Nice card, too. Did you make these cards yourself?
Designed them.
Yeah, like Frank Lloyd Wright sort of.
Yeah, that's what was the inspiration.
Are these genuine Frank Lloyd Wright cabinets I'll be buying?
Yes.
Fashioned by the master himself.
Right, he helped me.
Thank you very much. William Murphy, ladies and gentlemen, here, and I got the card if you need it. You need some cabinetry. Thank you for all that. Sorry to grill you. Have a good time wherever they take you. Michael Moriarty puts exclamation points after everything. Yeah, I see that. I think I see why. Okay, he's way in back. Why do you sit way in back then, Mr. Woohoo? Is it because of the noise you make periodically? Why? Do you always write everything with, when you're online, is it all caps? Yeah? Here, come on down here and we'll see you. I'm not just talking to myself here. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Fine. Thank you. Michael Moriarty, San Francisco. Engineer! You know, I don't think engineer has ever had an exclamation point after it.
Hey, I'm one of a kind.
Yeah. What kind of engineer are you?
I'm a computer engineer.
Computer engineer. Okay.
Yep.
So you make computers?
I type on them and make software with them.
You make software, your software?
Yeah, software guy.
Well, that's a good thing to be in, huh?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Are you multi-millionaires yet?
Getting there, slowly but surely.
Really?
Yeah.
Where are you doing
very
this?
Very slowly. San Francisco.
Oh, that's right, San Francisco! Yeah. Are you like a real exclamatory type person?
I try to be, you know. Yeah. Why live life if you're not having fun?
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. But if you're trying to be, then maybe it's not fun.
Well, it's true. You don't want to put too much effort into it. It's got
to
come naturally.
Where did you learn to do the software kind of stuff?
I went to Notre Dame. So.
Notre Dame! Notre Dame!
That's right.
If you spoke Spanish, you could put an exclamation point on each side of everything.
The upside down one. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
I love that.
I know.
It's a great thing about Spanish.
I need to bring that to English.
And your question is?
What kind of deodorant are you wearing right now?
You're not going to understand this, being the age that you're at. But I am a firm believer in soap and water. And I use it often, and occasionally I will tape a bar under each arm. But I believe that this aluminum hydrochlorate is bad for you, bad for the environment, and bad for life on Earth. I hope that's not too strong a statement. So I'm not wearing any deodorant.
Good. You smell lovely.
Thank you.
I'm not wearing any either.
Good. Okay, well, that's why you're in back. Okay. Yep. Very nice to meet you. Michael Moriarty. He's on the up. He's positive. Holy cow. I'm anxious to meet M.P. Bausch, who lives with nuns in Darlington. And we'll get to that, but I'm going to make sure here that I don't. Let's see. We got a big get-together here, right, isn't it? Family thing? Is it the Freese family from Vero Beach, Florida, and other places? Where are the Freeses? Oh, they're all right down there. And they are applauding themselves. Those Freeses always applaud. Are you a Freese? Are you a Freese, sir? No?
No, I'm in your midst.
I'm in your midst, or you're a near miss? It's still the same thing to me. Either be I'm a near miss, or I'm in your midst. Well, who's speaking for the Freese family reunion? You care?
Actually, this guy right there.
Yes. You're speaking for it?
I'm the baby of the family. Yes, I am.
We'll stand up here and introduce us to the Freese. Okay, the dog is a wonderful dog. Beautiful dog. Yes, how are you?
Doing well. Well, sir. Okay.
All right, so explain this whole Freese movement that we see here.
Well, the Freese family is here for the reunion of the year. We have the mother and father going to be celebrating Father's Day for my dad, Henry.
Henry, how are you?
Hi.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Okay.
And hello?
And Ann.
Henry and Ann.
Yes. With an E.
Who?
With an E.
Who is?
Ann.
Spelled with an E.
Yeah. Do people get that wrong all the time or what?
Well, it was after Annie. Originally.
You know what you should do? Start it with an E. They wouldn't forget it.
Good idea.
I'm just thinking that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I'm the baby of the family, and then I have my brothers and sisters, and they're our partners, and we're all up here in Madison, Wisconsin, enjoying the wonderful weather.
Okay. Now, why are we here in Madison? Is that where Henry and Ann with an E?
No, the two sisters are the most libertarian and liberal people we have in the family.
Difference between those, you know. You got
New York and New Jersey, and so Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, actually, and in New Jersey and New York. So, yeah. So it's the liberal reunion.
The liberal reunion in the enclave here.
Yes.
So who should I speak to as far as the enclave? Wait a minute.
What? I'm sorry.
What? Okay. Thank you very much. And you're, which one are you? You're?
John.
John
Freese.
And we got Henry and Ann.
Vero Beach.
You're from Vero. Are you? Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're from New Jersey originally?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just from New Jersey.
Yeah. So you all fled. There's a diaspora of Freeses from New Jersey. Yeah. Did they all head to Vero Beach or elsewhere?
No, elsewhere. We were looking for the warm weather. We don't want to be in Wisconsin in the winter. We love it in the summer.
So you're here in the summer and you're there in the winter?
Good idea, yeah.
Oh, you're going to try that? Is that what you do?
Oh, we did try that. Oh, yeah. We lived here for 6 years, but lived in Florida as well. Yeah. You know, 6 and 6, they call it.
Yeah. I know the types.
All time.
Now you're not snowbirds anymore, huh?
Oh, no.
Very nice to meet you. Thank you all for being here. To the Freeses, ladies and gentlemen. We got some bottles of wine. I don't know how many you need. Okay. Thank you. Let's give them some wine. How many Freeses do we have here so we can figure out? No, I mean, just give me a number. I don't raise your hands.
Eight.
Is eight? Oh, it seems like more. Are you with the Freeses? Oh, you're the stalker. You're Michael Stalker. Okay. Any of the Freeses stalkers of Michael? Huh? 10. Okay, so that would be like what you think about 2 to a bottle?
I suppose, yeah. For picnics, parties, or dinner by candlelight, you can't go wrong with wine from the Wollersheim Winery.
Yeah, you figure out the numbers on it. I think we've got 5 bottles.
I'll be calculating that
6,
right now.
1 for good luck.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you, Freeses. Nice to have you here. We're going to play the quiz because that's what we do. And later on, we'll find about Lives with Nuns in Darlington. All right, So you saw what happened last time. It could happen again. Someone wants to play the quiz. Show an interest at this time. You know, I would say that, you know, it was close. It was almost a draw, I think. But I'm going to have to take the gentleman from Alaska here. Because he's here, for one thing. Good enough reason. Are you ready? I'll get you up. Just lean on me if you need me. Watch out for these steps because they are killer. Okay, I guess I'm in your way.
Okay.
You good? All right. Have a seat there. There you go. That's just the stuff. So don't worry about it.
I usually try not to sit in booths.
No. Yeah. Okay, now, your name again is?
Big Dan.
Big Dan, ladies and gentlemen, from Alaska here. Big Dan. And once again, Big Dan, where are you from in Alaska?
Cordova.
Cordova, yeah.
And so we have another Alaskans here?
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah, they're from Anchorage, though. That doesn't really count, right?
Oh, it does. It does.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't Anchorage like
we stick together.
Anchorage is like the Madison of Alaska, isn't it?
I'm just getting to know Madison. I just got here last night.
Yeah. What brings you here?
Oh, I got a wedding over in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So I came 12 days early to go see those fish jump out of the river, Asian carp.
Oh, yeah, I came to see the jumping Asian carp. Who sold you the ticket for that? Oh, yeah, that's something to see.
This was the best ticket deal here.
Yeah.
It costs more to park than it does to come to the show.
I know. We got to do something about it. We got to change that. We got to make the parking cheaper. Hey, Big Dan. You always been Big Dan, even when you were little?
No, I think something I morphed into. Like,
yeah.
You know what it is?
What?
I was tired of people, when they meet you, then later on they say, Don. Hey, Don.
Big Don, you
or,
know.
Or Dave.
Yeah.
And so I had to put a little something on there to get the, and they tend to remember that part.
Because you never hear Big Don.
I suppose.
It's always suppose Don. Not. Don.
Yeah, Big Dan. So that's kind of how it morphed about.
Is Big like an accolade as well?
I don't know.
Okay.
What do you mean by?
I have no idea.
Depends on what you mean by.
Who first called you Big?
Oh, I probably named it myself.
Oh, you called yourself Big. Okay.
It's kind of a first impression.
You just looked in the mirror and that was your first impression? Yes. I'm Big. Big Dan now. I'm Big Dan now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Enough of this, just plain Dan.
And I was also interested in your form of government here and the Scott Walker guy. I had to come and
take
see.
Take it with you, will you? Wait,
he'd probably fit in just fine where I live because we got the same situation up there.
Oh yeah,
so,
you do.
Yeah,
yeah, but not Sarah anymore. Sarah's out of it, right?
She's still there.
She's still there, but she's not.
I see her at the basketball games, stuff like that. Yeah.
Playing or
her kids play coaching? With my friend's kids.
Oh yeah.
So you know that's another thing. I don't know how it is here in Madison, but up in Alaska you can see the governor in the store or in the bar. Or you can shake hands. You can see him on the street, shake hands. It's still a small
Scott, town. I don't know.
Doesn't happen in your neighborhood.
Is anybody running to Scott in a store or a...
We played a gig with him.
Huh?
We played a gig where he attended and...
Yeah, but that's not saying there's running into him like at a bowling alley or
security. He's got security. Yeah. Big guys around.
Yeah, no, it doesn't
happen. And then they open the governor's mansion every Christmas for a couple of days. Big party, you know, and all that.
I know, stuff. You know, I was in the governor's mansion. I mean, just we did a show up there and we were in the mansion for a while there. You remember that? The mansion. No, we meant to invite you. I'm sorry, John. I honestly, that was cool. And what do you do up there to make a living?
I'm a retired chef.
Oh, you are? Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you cook there?
You know, I put a lot of years in for the ferry system in Alaska. A lot of people don't know we have a big ferry system.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Every ship has a kitchen on it, and you feed the crew and that kind of thing. But I've done it all.
Yeah.
Done it all.
Where'd you learn to cook? In the Navy or something?
No. It just kind of came natural. And then I did four years at the Culinary Institute.
You did? America. Oh, yeah. Man. Real deal.
Two cooking, two baking, and some student teaching.
Yeah.
I used to wear a tuxedo to work.
No kidding.
In the dining room, you know.
Well, how cool.
Yeah.
How cool. And were you pretty good then?
I'm an excellent chef.
Yeah.
Mediocre maitre d', and an okay baker.
That's the order I'd want
but
him
I
in,
But I can
though.
Do it all.
Yeah, no, that's
I
the order I'd want him in.
Yeah.
I'd like
yeah.
The baker a little
sure, sure.
Higher up, I guess. But yeah. And what is your pièce de résistance?
People always ask, you know, yeah. What do you like to cook?
Yeah.
Well, whatever you got on hand, you know.
Yeah.
I do a lot of wild game. I do a lot of fish.
Oh, yeah.
But if you can create something for the moment and that's interesting and... It's a creativity process, you know, so I don't have just one thing. It's,
okay,
yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Big Dean.
I'd like to say hi to everybody in Cordova, my kids. You know, I tweeted a million people today to tell them to listen to your show.
Yeah, you did? How
Not
did you know?
I was going to be here, but it's
you had
a pretty
premonition?
Good show.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Yeah.
And we could use a few new listeners,
and you
can
still afford it, unlike the other shows.
Yeah, affordable.
Affordable.
Mike Feldman's, what do you know? Affordable. Big Dan. Cordova. All right, here's a question. Someone that played with Big Dan here, sister. And the question, this is an answer, actually. It's called My Sister or a Rotating First Lady. What is the question? The answer is My Sister or a Rotating First Lady. What is the question? Let's go to the phones right now. Tony is in Belton, Missouri. Hey, Tony.
Hi. Hi, Michael.
Hi. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, thank you.
My sister or a rotating first lady? What is the question? This is a candidate for the presidency, I'll tell you that much.
A candidate?
Yeah, and asked, he said, well, my sister or a rotating first lady?
Okay.
Could do it.
All right. I'm going to have to guess, but I think I will say a rotating first lady.
Oh, no, I didn't want you to pick between the two. Either one would be fine with me. But I mean, the person who said this.
Oh, the person who said it.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay.
Yeah. Candidate for the presidency.
Okay. Is it Republican. A Democrat? Oh, a
Republican.
Republican.
Yeah.
Gosh, there's so many of them.
Southern.
Oh, a governor. Okay, is it Walker?
No, not a governor. He is a Southern governor, that's true, but I didn't mean him.
Okay, Southern governor.
Yeah.
Is it Perry?
No, it's not a governor at all. I was saying it's Southern, a Southerner.
Oh, a Southerner.
Yes.
Graham.
Yes, that's right. I knew we'd get there.
Graham?
Holy cow.
That's
Tony, Lindsey Graham said he's a bachelor, so he said his sister or a rotating first lady could do it. Okay. Tony, this is Big Dan.
Hi, Tony.
Hi there.
Okay.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Very good. And I just got another one question thing.
This is
thing,
another
huh?
Magical lightning round.
I'll tell you what, you're very fortunate or very unlucky. It's fortunate, I think. One question here takes it all.
That's
and
right.
Here are the categories.
Categories are current events, people, places, things, science, and odds and ends.
All right, Tony, pick the category. What would you like?
How about current events?
Current events, okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Big Dan?
Yeah, all right.
A Shanghai man sued actress Zhao Wei, star of Tiger Mom, for what offense? You probably read about this all over the news around the world. This woman has a show on television in China. She's a big actress in China. He sued her, alleging some offense for the way she portrayed herself on television in terms of how he responded to it.
Is this some kind of gender transfer? Or
gender has nothing to do with it.
Well, I keep up on current events pretty much.
Did you see this?
I don't believe I did.
Did you see the one about the guy who sued the actress because she was looking at him too hard? That one?
It was something she wasn't acting enough ladylike and was.
No, I think she was just looking at him too hard or something like that.
He was offended, reverse, when men offend women.
Yeah.
she was doing it to him, and he thought that was a stepping out.
You think she was looking at him too hard and staring at him, causing him mental distress?
Yeah.
Yes. Big Dan.
All right, Big Dan. Big Dan, this is your prize. You'll activate the flavor enzymes in roasts, pork, ducks, brats, and more with Mustard Girl's award-winning Stone Ground Deli Mustard, Sunshine in a Bottle from Jennifer Connor, the Mustard Girl. And Tony, from the War of Griffin's Pig to Coming of Age in Iowa, you've got Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia quizzes, stories, fun, facts, and everything else you wanted to know from source books. And both of you can send the news of your quiz victory on a half dozen genuine archival quality greetings from Planet Feldman postcards and fill the audio void between Memorial Day and the 4th of July with a red-blooded American music of What Do You Know About Copeland. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich, producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Megan Hannes, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Technical director Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Routh and Brad Colbert.
PRI, Public Radio International.